It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. It is Gil Alexander. How you doing? Jason Kahn is here, producer number seven. Jason, you just paid me the finest compliment I've ever received. Please tell the good people what you just said to me.
Gil, you're like a fine jazz musician.
What he means
by
that.
We're just here to keep up with you.
What do you mean by that is I have no idea what's about to happen at any moment. So I think I'm going to take it as a compliment. I do know this. We will have Drew Dinsick on the show today for the Deep Dive podcast. We'll talk Masters with him. We'll talk NBA. We'll talk NFL draft. A whole bunch of NFL draft between now and the draft. 2 weeks and 2 days from now. Mel Kiper has a new mock. Mike Renner was on Primetime Action with us last night. Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. So just to let you know that both of those mocks are completely fall. What's the expression? Fall in the face of each other. So it was like we know nothing 2 weeks plus out. So it's going to confuse our draft props more than anything, but we'll get into it. Mark Borchardt with baseball plays today. I believe he split his yesterday. Split his with one cancellation. I hit mine. 4-1 on the young season. 4-1 pre-flop. I don't know if I'll have a pick or not. We'll see. Dan Bespris on the NBA here momentarily as well. Talk to him about a major injury in the NBA last night. Just seismic. I don't know if people thought that this particular team had a shot at winning at all, but nonetheless, if you had a futures ticket on said team, you are not happy this morning. And Paul Carr. Paul Carr will be here to talk Champions League with us. Among other things with Paul Carr, this is sort of the funny thing Paul and I were talking about yesterday. And I got, have you ever talked about a subject and you didn't think you'd be like really that interested in the subject? And then the more and more you talk about it, you found yourself getting angrier and angrier about it. Julian Edelman's retirement and this buzz about him being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Oh my God, we got to drift into a little sports radio on that. I just got angrier and angrier about it. So we'll do that. Shout out to Dan Weston, our tennis guy. For those who remember at the beginning of the show yesterday, we gave out his tennis pick. He had Cristian Garin. That's actually Cristian Garin, if you want to pronounce it correctly, from Chile, against Felix Auger-Aliassime. It took 24 hours because there was rain in Monte Carlo yesterday, so it got suspended. But Garin got it done, 7-6, 6-1, beat Felix Auger-Aliassime, who, again, is probably a more known tennis commodity than the victor. But nonetheless, Garin, the clay court specialist, takes it down for us as a plus 106 play. So congratulations to all who did that. I would have given Dan's pick for today, but it started prior to this show. Again, they're playing in Monte Carlo. It was a plus 196 play on Pablo Andujar from Spain, another clay court specialist, against Alexei Popyrin from Australia. They're in the third and final set, 4-4 right now, as a plus 194 dog. So that might go Dan's way or not, but sorry that we didn't get that. As far as matches that have not started that he is on this morning, he has leans. They are not official plays, but leans this morning. The only one that hasn't started is Marco Berrettini. I'm not sure what the price is. It might be prohibitive. But Marco Berrettini, if you're looking for a little Dan Weston tennis this morning during the show, tennis during the show to bet on, Marco Berrettini over Davidovich Fokina. Though I'm not sure what Berrettini's price is, so let me check on that. It could be prohibitive on that. So sorry about that. We'd like to start the show earlier sometimes, but you know, hey, that's how it works. Also on the show today, Danielle Alvari from Primetime Action. She's not going to join us necessarily, but we do have her TikTok video that she played yesterday. We played it on Primetime Action last night, talking about NFL draft cliches. Her NFL draft cliche bingo TikTok video, which has how many views right now, Jason?
It was over 50,000 views.
50,000 views.
Really impressive. Yeah, good job.
She did a great job on that. I told her during the show, I told her after the show last night, I was like, Danielle, let me tell you something. You do these videos, they will get exponentially more views than anything we ever do, ever, period. That's how good that one was. So we'll play that a little later, and hopefully we'll hear from Danielle. I don't know, it might be a little too early from her to do that. So anyway, the injury, of course, that I was referring to last night, late in the Nuggets game, last night, Jamal Murray went down with what looks to be a major knee injury in Denver's Denver's loss to Golden State last night. By the way, it's Gil Alexander. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. It was a non-contact injury. Of course, iHeartRadio, let me not forget. A non-contact injury, which is never good. Golden State beat Denver last night, 116-107. Let's bring in Dan Bespris from the hoop-ball.com website and, of course, the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, assistant GM at hoopball.com. That didn't look good, Dan, and if you are a Denver Nuggets futures ticket holder, I don't know how many of those folks are out there, but you can't be feeling too good this morning.
Yeah, that was gross. It was weird yesterday. In an odd twist, I didn't actually have any plays, so I kind of just, I didn't really watch much basketball, and then right before my older kid went to bed, I just flipped on the very end of that Warriors-Nuggets game. I may have watched, I don't know, 70 seconds before it happened. And I just, you get that pit in your stomach and you kind of feel warm all over, you know, that sensation. And yeah, I mean, I know everybody on Twitter is like, let's just hope it's not. Yeah, it's bad. It's real bad.
Yeah, we'll go to the test today. And obviously your heart goes out to Jamal Murray. Not good for the Nuggets is the understatement of the morning. Let me ask you this about something else that happened in the NBA last night. Utah loses to the Wizards outright. 125-121. The Wizards beat the Jazz as 10.5-point dogs. That's the second loss in as many games by the Jazz to the Wizards. It occurs to me, if the Jazz end up not getting home court in any playoff series because of one or two games, they should remember the two Wizards games more than anything, shouldn't they?
Yeah, although, you know, I don't want to stick too much on it. The Wizards have done this actually to just like two or three teams in the NBA. They've looked awful against almost everybody, and then they've played Brooklyn pretty well, and they've played Utah real well. I couldn't truly explain this one other than there's a focus thing that goes in. And, you know, Gil, you and I have talked a million times about how most of the time these NBA guys are going at about a nice smooth 80 to 85% in a ball game.
Yes.
So, you know, you catch a team when they're going 100% and anyone can beat anyone. So give the Wizards some credit. They get it ratcheted up against some of these high profile teams, and it worked. The Jazz got kind of caught with their pants down again. And, you know, Utah actually hasn't been that great since the All-Star break, particularly bad on the road. But this one snapped a long home winning streak, so I don't want to take too much away from them. But they've been kind of in cruise control a little bit here lately.
What does that say about the Wizards, though? And again, I'm going to ask you to get some play-in game fever right now, Dan. So for those who missed it, and we know that this is going to come up as the postseason approaches. But for those who missed it, the seventh and eighth place team in each conference play each other for the right to be the seventh seed. The winner becomes the seventh seed. The loser of the 7-8 game will play the winner of a 9-10 game. The loser of that eliminated. The winner of the 9-10 plays the loser of the 7-8 for the right to be the eighth seed in the postseason. So if a team like the Wizards, who, by the way, right now are 12th in the Eastern Conference, but really are two games in the loss column out of being the 10th, like, if they get into a play-in situation, do you trust them to, quote-unquote, step it up as they do against some of the NBA's elite? Or are you just like, I would never bet on this team, you know, with anybody else's money?
We could save a lot of time by me just saying no. No, I don't trust them. I think that you get these blips where, just like we were talking about a moment ago, they were just sort of focused and playing harder than the team they were going against. And you just don't really get that come playoff time. And maybe you get it like if a team goes up 2-0 or 3-0 in a series, but, you know, there's a chance they could slip through the play-in tournament on that part of the question, because the teams in that 7 through 10 bucket in the Eastern Conference are not exactly world beaters right now, although the, you know, Celtics in the 7 seed is a little bit weird. But yeah, I mean, you know, let's say the Wizards pass the Raptors and the Bulls and everybody stays the same. They could beat the Pacers in one game if Russ is hyper efficient for a night like he was yesterday in Utah, and Beal is obviously a very good NBA basketball player. But you put them in a best of 7 series with the 76ers coming out of that play-in tournament, and they're just going to get waxed. I mean, look at the centers that they can trot out there to try to stop Joel Embiid. It would not be pretty.
Okay, last night, Sixers win, by the way, and they do so handily against Luka's Mavericks. 113-95, easily cover in that game. Joel Embiid, just another monster game. And now it occurs to me, look, with Jamal Murray's injury, Nikola Jokic, the favorite in the clubhouse right now to win NBA MVP. But monster game. My phone freezes, by the way, on me on looking up Embiid's stats. But he has another 30-plus point performance last night. And so you just wonder, and Jokic and Murray so good in the two-man game for the Nuggets. There's still enough runway here for a guy like Embiid. If he just keeps performing. And look, the Sixers play the Nets tomorrow night. They could get into first place, you know, once again in the Eastern Conference. If you're landing on the MVP market right now, is Embiid not the bet at plus 360?
Yeah, I guess it comes down to the discussion we've held before about Rookie of the Year, and we can apply it to MVP, is how many games is the minimum that a guy's going to need to play to possibly win MVP. Right now, Joel's played 36 of the 76ers' 54 games so far this year, so that's exactly two-thirds of them. And I believe Jokic hasn't missed a single game to this point. I might be off by one game there. I think he's played in all 54. So, you know, that's, to me, a pretty good explanation as to why Jokic is the prohibitive favorite. But in terms of, hey, what could happen the rest of the way? Could Jokic have to miss two or three games? Could Denver fall in the standings? These are those little things that would probably tip the balance back. I think you're going to need to see Embiid pretty much play every game the rest of the way to get to that point where, like, his gap right now, which is a bit, again, about a third of the season, he's going to have to stay at that number, and that percentage can't, let me rephrase that a little bit, it's got to stay at 18 games as opposed to that 33% marker. If Jokic is playing three games to every two for Embiid the rest of the way, he's not going to be able to jump him. In terms of value, yeah, you go with that number two guy, because laying a favorite to win MVP is kind of a foolish move at almost any point in the year.
Yeah, Embiid with 36 last night. By the way, Jokic, 27, 12, and 8, not to be outdone.
Yeah. No slouch.
So there's that I should probably mention as well. Talking to Dan Bespris from hoop-ball.com, but of course the Fantasy NBA today, Fantasy NBA podcast, I should say. Okay, so here's the good part then, Dan. Let me ask you a couple questions. One, we'll get to your, first of all, double revenge stats coming up from Dano. And picks to make you vomit in your mouth. Those are coming up as well. Let's not forget about that. But I've mentioned on this show a couple times, maybe more than a couple times, the best NBA totals better that I know. And I'm not talking about a guy who had one good season. I'm talking over hundreds of games, if not thousands, over many years of betting NBA totals, where year after year after year, this guy hits at just a very solid winning rate. Not quite, you know, somewhere in between 55 to 59%, just solid year after year. And this year, he is just having all kinds of difficulty. I've tried to get him on the show. He wants to come on, but he's still right in the sort of the throes of it. So he wants to sort of bounce back before he does. But the question, and I'll throw it out to you, is why do you think it's so different this year with pre-flop totals? Why would you speculate that someone who has had so much success over time, what's not working out? What's different?
I got to think that it's still that focus thing where this season is so weird that you don't know what a team is going to look like on any given night. There's all this stuff going on behind the scenes. I don't bet totals that much during the regular season. I tend to save those for playoff matchups because I think you can get a really good feel for what a series is going to look like and kind of understand what adjustments are going to happen between games. Most of the totals I've played this year, and I've probably made 10 the entire season, have been in matchups where two teams are playing each other a couple times in rapid succession. Other than that, there's this weird, you know, every once in a while you get these games where no one is focused at all. You get games where all of a sudden teams decide they want to take it more seriously. And that creates pace issues because, you know, you figure, hey, this is a high-paced team, and you can't read them. You just don't know what they're going to look like on any given night. So you do have to look for those weird motivational angles. And so the numbers are all over the map.
Do you make anything of this recent stretch where double-digit favorites are getting it done, ATS, to the tune of darn near It was actually more close to 70% rate over the last 60 ball games.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that give up happen this year, maybe more pronounced than usual. Forget the tank even. I don't think a lot of players even wanted to play this season. And so once the season is sort of emotionally over, you're probably going to see that kick in. Like, you know, I know the Rockets came back in yesterday's ballgame, but they've been guilty of getting clubbed as a double-digit underdog quite often because I just don't feel like they cared for a while. Hey, season's over. Let's just pack it in. And so I think, again, I know I'm tracing everything back to this weird emotional stuff going on this odd NBA season, but I do think that's the heart of it, where it's not even the tank so much as it is guys just ready for this season to be over. And so they get popped in the mouth in a game. It's time to roll over.
Yeah. And by the way, I bring that up because typically when people cite trends like that, and look, last night it was 0-2, right? There's really not a lot of predictive quality to them. So it's just more narrative than anything. And sure enough, 0-2, but even with the 0-2 last night, still a interesting stretch, but I would agree that more noise than signal there. Explain double revenge to folks and what you have discovered about that.
So this is kind of an interesting one, and I don't know that it'll ever happen again. The reason that it jumped out this year, and I wasn't planning on paying super close attention to it, but given the schedule readjustment for this season, teams are playing other teams in their own conference exactly three times this year, and teams from the other conference exactly two times. Most seasons, you've got four games in conference. So this was sort of a weird one where you get these anomalous meetings where two teams that are pretty evenly matched, one of them takes the first two out of three meetings that are all, by the way, close together, relatively condensed because of the way the schedule this season was created. So partway through the year, I started to look at it like, you know, I think this double revenge, it actually feels like there's something to it. And I looked it up, and it's now sitting at 25 and 15 ATS on the season of these teams that lost the first two meetings straight up, coming back and covering in the third and final meeting. A lot of the losses there, the 15 losses, have come from teams where you look at it and you're like, oh, well, this is just a really terrible team, and there's sort of nothing there. They don't actually care. A handful more of those losses have come in a third meeting where the two teams played a really, really tight second matchup. So you have that kind of, oh, we missed our shot thing. So if you really pare down on this stuff, there's a pretty darn good angle happening with the team that's lost twice looking at that third meeting and saying, we will not be swept, in a way that in most seasons, by the time you get to, say, a triple revenge scenario, you're talking about teams that have given up on the year. So that's a new and weird thing that happened this season. We had one last night, oddly enough. The Rockets, of all teams, actually were in double revenge against the Suns. And I thought, no, I can't do this one. Houston's been too bad. And then they came fighting back late in that ballgame, and they actually covered again. So it's a really weird thing happening right now. And the other thing, Gil, that I was texting you about that sort of kind of locked it in for me is that the average line in these games is under three. So it tends to be, again, teams that are relatively tight in power rankings, where in previous years, if you're looking at triple revenge, the line tends to be closer to five or six. So it's usually a good team against a bad one. That's not happening this year. It's new, it's exciting, and it might go away in a month forever.
That's right. And what was your number on it again? What did you say it was?
It's record? 25 and 15 this year.
Okay, is there one tonight or is there one coming up this week?
There is one tonight.
Oh.
The Raptors. The Raptors have double revenge against the Hawks. So the question, of course, we ask ourselves is, does Toronto still think they can make a run at it? Because otherwise, you might be making a bad decision there. But they are just a game and a half back of the Bulls for that 10 seed. We were just talking about the Wizards thinking they have a shot. So I have to assume that means the Raptors think they do as well. Now, this game is also a little weird because we don't know who's in and who's out for Atlanta. So you got to wait until real tight to game time. Is Trae Young going to play? Is the other 80% of the starting lineup going to play? So, you know, this isn't one that I would jump in on early, but it is certainly one that I'm thinking about late.
So for double revenge, the play on team would be the Raptors is what you're saying here.
Correct.
Okay. Do you have any other plays here in our last 60 seconds, Dano? Plays that make us want to vomit in our mouth, which, by the way, have been very good from you this year.
Well, I was looking at the Hornets before yesterday's game. The Lakers are in kind of a rough scheduling spot after a game in New York last night. I'm still leaning pretty hard to that Charlotte side. So let's go ahead and just lock in Hornets as the play that'll make you gag a little bit. Although, I don't know, does that really make you gag?
Because
the Lakers
not so
haven't been very good either.
Not so much. I don't feel the urge to do so. Yeah.
Okay. Nothing too vomitous tonight. This is a nausea-free evening.
Nausea-free. Raptors in Dano's special double revenge angle, if you believe in such things. He's got the numbers to make the case that he does. And then Charlotte in the not-so-vomitous play against the Lakers. Real quick, name all the teams as we go out that can actually win the NBA championship. Go.
Sixers, Nets, Bucks, Lakers, Clippers. I almost would have thought Nuggets, but you can throw that one out. Jazz, and let's throw the Suns in there for good measure. There's your long shot weird one.
Stop it. I'm going to have to remove the Bucks and the Suns from that list. Do you really think the Bucks?
I believe.
Come on.
No, not really. I don't. Well, they don't have to play Toronto probably this year.
Huh. I'd say Sixers, Nets, Lakers, Clippers, maybe Jazz. That's how I'd pare it down. But I asked you the question, not me, so I shouldn't chime in. I object to the Bucks and the Suns, Dano, but I appreciate the answer. Thank you, Dano, as always. Always fun. Put the kids to bed.
You are most welcome.
Thank you, Dano. Dan Bespris, everybody. Hoop-ball.com, where he's assistant GM. At Dan Bespris, by the way. Bespris. Nothing but mock drafts to help you with your NFL draft props, although these might do nothing but confuse. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
With basketball and hockey games every week and with the early baseball season, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please, as always, gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. That's 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Jason, do you have my Mike Renner ready to go from last night from primetime action? Mike Renner is the lead draft analyst over at Pro Football Focus. And we had him on Primetime Action last night, which I do with my buddy Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin. We do it each and every night on MSG Plus. And when it's on MSG Plus, I should say, it's 7 p.m. Eastern. When it's not, we're on at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. But we're always on VSiN.com for those 2 hours. But this is Mike Renner yesterday from Primetime Action, or from DraftKings, rather. Not DraftKings, but from Pro Football Focus. On our show, talking about, you know, when I asked him, hey, what do you think? Will Mac Jones get drafted number 3 by the San Francisco 49ers? Do we have that ready, Jason? Let's roll that for Mike Renner last night. When the Niners traded up to 3, sort of the insider world immediately went to, well, the Niners are picking, they're picking Mac Jones with that. He fits right into the Kyle Shanahan mold. On this show, our first reaction was the opposite. We're like, that's the one person we don't think they will draft. Where do you stand on this right now?
I'm not buying the Mac Jones smoke. And I get why they're putting those sort of tea leaves together. He's the kind of quarterback he's coveted, or I guess had more so than coveted, because he hasn't necessarily gone out and got a lot of these guys himself, whether it was Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo, over either go back to Matt Schaub when he was the OC with the Houston Texans. That's kind of the mold that Mac Jones is in. He's not going to do much for you outside the pocket. He is very accurate over the middle of the football field, runs an offense at Alabama that's very similar to what Kyle Shanahan's running over in San Francisco. So it's an easy projection. I think that's why a lot of people around the league are saying that. But I know firsthand that Kyle Shanahan hasn't even told people in that San Francisco 49ers building which way they're going, that there is no actual one that knows besides Kyle Shanahan. And maybe he doesn't even quite know at this point. And so I don't think that I'm buying the Mac Jones hype, because you don't give up three first-round picks for a guy who has Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Schaub tools. You just don't. Like, if you're giving up three first-round picks, you're giving up those for someone like a Patrick Mahomes, someone like a Josh Allen, someone who can take you over the top, not just run your offense. To me, that's Justin Fields, that's Trey Lance. So I think they're going to be going when it's all said and done with one of those two, and I don't think it's going to be Mac Jones.
Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. Two things. One, Mike Renner on season 14 of The Bachelorette was eliminated in week 3. Just want to point that out. Just side note about Mike. That's probably buried the headline on Mike. Now he's the lead draft analyst over there at Pro Football Focus. His latest mock has Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2 to the Jets. Penei Sewell in a trade Penei Sewell going 3. This might be an older draft now that I'm thinking about it that I have here from him. Penei Sewell 3, Justin Fields 4, Trey Lance 5. But I think that those, now that I'm looking at it, I think it's old teams. So this is before some trades that we were linked to. But right now he does not, based on that answer, he does not have Mac Jones going number 3 at all to the San Francisco 49ers. The thing is, again, and I've talked about on this show, I've bet Justin Fields at 2 at 8-1. I've bet Justin Fields at 3 at plus, I got a terrible number, plus 140. You can get Justin Fields at 3 now at plus 250, plus 260, somewhere in that range. I could be right about Mac Jones not going to the Niners at 3 and still get all my bets wrong. Because who knows? What I don't have a sense of is who they are going to pick at 3, what the Falcons are going to do at 4. So that's an issue. Where does Kyle Pitts fit in the mix? When we come back from the break, because we got to run into a commercial here, I'm going to give you Mel Kiper's latest mock draft. And this one is up to date. This is in the last 24 hours. And that will completely throw all of this into confusion because Mel Kiper, well, he's a little more conventional with some quirks as well. So who do you believe at this point? You in the Mac Jones of San Francisco crowd or not? Again, 2 weeks, 2 days away from the NFL draft, from the first round of the NFL draft, which we will do live on primetime action here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Billen, and I, at least we'll do the first 2 hours of the draft. So, I don't know, what's that, first 10 to 12 picks? Thursday, 2 weeks from Thursday, right here on VSiN.com. Coming back with Kiper's draft, and then Mark Borchardt's baseball picks of the night as well, this hour. Drew Dinsick as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
The spring sports betting action is just getting started. Our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We'll give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event and point spread weekly. The weather and the betting action is heating up, and now's the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Coach Brian, nothing better than opening the app and seeing more money in the account than last night. Thanks, Dan and Gil, referring to the Christian Garin pick over Felix Auger-Aliassime yesterday. Thank you, Coach Brian. That's all Dano. All Dano. Jeff Rowe Records. Love that Twitter handle. Mike Renner's comment about, quote, Kyle Shanahan might not know who to draft right now has to be wrong. There's no way San Francisco trades up to number 3 without knowing exactly who will be available and who they're getting. Maybe the insiders are wrong about Mac Jones, but the decision has been made. I would agree with you, Jeff Rowe Records. I think the decision has been made. In fact, I'll go as far as to say, and I never remember what show I say this on anymore, but the Jets coaching staff, Robert Saleh at the top there, from the Niners, I would not at all be surprised if the Jets and the Niners have had dialogue behind the scenes. The Niners know exactly who the Jets are going to pick at number 2 and know who will be available at number 3. And I'm not so sure it's exactly who we think it is. I'll even go that far. So they absolutely know who will be available and who will not. Let's put it that way. I think I agree with you on that. Before we get to Mel Kiper's mock draft, which is completely different than the one we just talked about, or at least what we talked about at number 3, This is we ran this on Primetime Action last night. This is our own Danielle Alvari. And again, Primetime Action is me, Matt Brown, Danielle, and Kelly Bidlin. We have a blast every single night on the show. Live betting, pre-flop betting, talking betting, talking about other stuff beyond betting sometimes when it drifts. Always fun. And Danielle, she does some videos on her Twitter. This is a TikTok video she did yesterday. NFL draft cliche bingo. Let's roll it from Danielle.
Let's do this. Generational talent. That extra gear. Big locker room guy.
Sure, yeah, I could see that.
He just has those intangibles.
What are those?
Incredible pocket presence. He's deceptively athletic. He's quicker than he is fast.
He's a football player.
Aren't they all?
He is a grinder. When it comes down to it, he's got it all. The raw talent, the football IQ, and the measurables.
Yes! All right, bingo!
She did a great job with that. The visual is even is much better than the audio only. Good for her. And again, I told her, I was like, you keep doing those videos. Bigger than anything we'll ever do.
Pushing 60,000. Almost
pushing 60,000 views on it for her. I told her there's also NBA draft. If she did for the NBA draft, that's a whole nother set of cliches. Upside, length. We were throwing around others for NFL draft cliches. Football IQ, that should be on there. Student of the game. Matt Brown was saying when Mac Jones gets drafted, student of the game is a lock to be uttered. Athleticism, physicality, translate to the pro game. His skills translate to the pro game, all of that stuff. So very clever of Danielle to do that. Give her a shout again. It's at Danielle Alvari. A-L-V-A-R-I is her Twitter. Mel Kiper's mock draft. And this was here in the last 24 hours, maybe even this morning. Yes, 4:45 a.m. Pacific. He came out with his latest mock draft. He's got Trevor Lawrence going to the Jaguars. He's got Zach Wilson going to the Jets. He does have Mac Jones going to the Niners. Then is where it gets kind of interesting with Mel Kiper. He's got the Dolphins trading yet again. Remember, the Dolphins went from 3 to 12 back to 6. Mel Kiper's got him going up to 4 with Atlanta and drafting who? Kyle Pitts. So Kiper's got the Dolphins trading back up to 4 and going with Kyle Pitts. Would they really go from 3 to 12 to 6 to 4? Well, maybe. To get Kyle Pitts. Then he has the Bengals taking Penei Sewell, which... this draft, 1 and 2, people are pretty okay, pretty much think that Zach Wilson is going to the Jets at number 2. I'm not 100% sure yet. But 3, 4, 5, 6, I mean, this is anybody's best guess, right? So you would think the Bengals, the logical choice would be to take Penei Sewell, which is what Kiper has the Bengals doing at 5, to protect Joe Burrow's knees, for goodness sake. But Joe Burrow played with Ja'Marr Chase at LSU. He's in the ears of Bengals management, so I don't know. But Kiper's got Penei Sewell going to the Bengals at 5. Then the Falcons, who, as you recall, just made that trade with the Dolphins per this mock draft. Didn't really happen in real life, for those tuning in right at this moment. Then he's got the Falcons picking Trey Lance out of North Dakota State, the QB out of North Dakota State. He's got the Falcons taking him at 6 after the trade down. Then the mini run on wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase to Detroit at 7. Hey, Detroit could use all the wide receiver help they can get. Carolina taking Devontae Smith from Bama at 8. The first defensive player per Mel Kiper's mock draft going to Denver at 9 and Micah Parsons, who also sat out the season a la Ja'Marr Chase for Penn State. And then at 10, Kiper with another trade. Here's where mock drafts get a little crazy with when they insert trades, because then you're really... you know, you're really taking poetic license. But he's got the Patriots trading to 10 with Dallas and taking who? But the fifth quarterback, Justin Fields, at 10. Justin Fields to the Patriots at 10. Or everybody's worst nightmare, who's not a Patriots fan. 11, Jalen Waddle to the Giants. And then we'll leave it at Patrick Surtain going to the Eagles at 12. But that per Mel Kiper. You think that sounds logical, Jason? So many of these do, but at this point, all I can say is I have no idea what's happening.
it all starts at pick number three. If that actually holds or trades, and you know, it's still such a wild card there at three, it's gonna it could reset everything depending on what actually happens there.
I feel like I have less handle on this draft than I've had beyond one and two. And again, my speculation is at three is that there's no way the Niners traded up to three to take Mac Jones, even though every insider is telling us that that's exactly what they've done.
Then there should be a lot of opportunity on the odds boards then.
Well, but even that, as I was explaining before, even if I don't think that, then I, you know, do I know if it's Justin Fields? Do I know if it's Trey Lance? What about this rumor about Washington wanting Trey Lance? Would Washington really trade up to draft Trey Lance? After all, they have Ryan Fitzpatrick for this year in the short term, but they don't have their future quarterback on their roster. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot that I think I know. There's a lot that I don't know. But if flash up my plays here as we go to break, the one thing that, you know, the things that I feel most confident about, besides the Justin Fields Flyers at 2 and 3, is over 4.5 wide receivers. Over 4.5 wide receivers feels like the lock of them all. And I laid, what did I lay on that? Minus 250. That doesn't seem high enough. That's my favorite of the bunch. We'll come back. Mark Borchardt on the baseball board today. What has he played? What is he thinking about playing in Major League Baseball? Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
BetMGM welcomes you to Showtime with a chance to win $100 for a $1 wager on the Clippers-Pacers game tonight. Just use bonus code VSiN100 and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more details. Use promo code VSiN100 to bet $1 and win $100 if either team hits a three. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. And 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa in Tennessee. Call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. Mentioned Marco Berrettini as Dan Weston's play this morning, 4-4 first set against Davidovich Fokina. It's a lean, not really a play. His play lost in three sets, but it was a +194 dog this morning. I am, if you're asking me, which I know you are, if you're asking me what am I playing today in women's tennis, I don't love anything, but I do feel like Jabeur and Kovinic once again will get through. Perhaps you want to put them in some kind of a money line parlay of some sort. Remember Kovinic from yesterday, if you were paying attention to the show, I have her Danka Kovinic. We're talking about 7-1, to win at Charleston this week after finishing in the finals last week. So again, it's always weird with tennis. If you get far in one tournament, in the subsequent tournament, sometimes you just sort of say deuces, I'm out of here. My body can't take it. But if she is ready to go 7-1, based on the numbers, is a tremendous price for Kovinic. So I do have her and Jabeur getting through this morning on the ladies' side. But both prices pretty prohibitive as single bets. So just want to point that out for those who asked on social. Major League Baseball today. Again, flash up my record if you could with Major League Baseball here. Jason, 4-1 on the young season here pre-flop for... over three units, not doing a whole bunch of pre-flop early, but picking my spots. We were able to fade Mad Bum last night. Once again, Mad Bum gave up 6 earned runs. Again, apologies to Mad Bum, cultural icon in the Bay. 3 World Series championships, but he got beat up yesterday by Oakland. Oakland holds on for the 9-5 win. One early game today in baseball. Eovaldi against Maeda, the Red Sox at the Twins. Twins are -145. Maeda coming off a great year last year. Eovaldi always with tantalizing heat, tantalizing profile. No play for me here in this one in the early game. They are playing baseball in Minnesota after the postponement yesterday. What am I playing? I think I'm playing the Baltimore Orioles. I haven't put this in my account yet, but we'll make it an official pick here, Jason. I'm taking John Means and the Orioles at minus 138. Minus 140 is the consensus right now, so you could say minus 140. You're showing minus 130 on the screen. Whatever you can get it on, I'll tell you what I put in my account here momentarily. We'll get the official number. But I got John Means and the Orioles against the Mariners, who I do believe the Mariners have overperformed here early in the season. Baltimore is pick number one today. And I am going to play as my second pick here. I am going into the evening time, and I'm taking Shane Bieber and the Tribe of Cleveland over Lucas Giolito. This is kind of a coin flippy game this evening between the Tribe and the White Sox. Bieber is the play for me at minus 105. That is what I'm going with there. So the two plays for me, Baltimore and Cleveland, as we are looking for Mark Borchardt but cannot find him on his picks. But those are my two anyway headed into tonight. Obviously the Dodgers, you know, I feel like they're going to win that game, but they're north of $3. So we've gotten to that point already this year now where Trevor Bauer and the Dodgers are at minus 310. My goodness. At home against the Rockies and Antonio Sensatella. So again, not a singular play on Trevor Bauer, but clearly we've gotten to the point now with the Dodgers at 8-2 on the season are already catching north of $3. Expect them to get through, not a play. Again, the play on the Orioles and on the Tribe. The other ones that I thought about playing but didn't end up pulling the trigger on, thought about a little Hyunjin Ryu with the Blue Jays against Jameson Taillon and the Yankees. Kind of coin flippy, a little extra pennies on the little bit of a favorite on the Blue Jays. Didn't pull the trigger there in that one. And then the other one that is very tempting, but I have not pulled the trigger on, Brandon Woodruff and the Brewers, minus 140 favorite against Kyle Hendricks and the Cubs. Cubs just having trouble, struggling hitting this year thus far in the short-term season. But I love Woodruff here. By the way, the Brewers, a sneaky pick. If you go to Central Division futures in the National League, the Brewers with that Woodruff-Burns combination, that 1-2 punch, they may be the team to win that division this year. I know Adam Candy, who filled in on Primetime Action, loved them pre-flop. Brewers could be in a scrum of teams in that division, along with the Cardinals, the Cubs, and, of course, you know, everybody but the Pirates, basically, in that division. The Brewers might be the team to emerge, but there's nothing really in terms of the division numbers, because division numbers, you're not going to want to, unless you have a credit account and it comes up, you're not going to want to lay that number perhaps and hope for that to come through with 150 roughly games left. The question is, do you think at 22-1, do you think the Brewers are viable to win in the National League? Can they beat, given that 1-2 punch at the top with Woodruff and Burns, can they beat the Dodgers in a short series? I don't know. Not a bet I'm willing to make, even at 22-1 on the Brewers. By the way, Mark Borchardt may be ready to go here, Jason. You may want to check in on him. He's texting me right now, so you may want to check on that right now. So there it is. So anyway, the two plays that I'm making for the day, Baltimore, John Means, minus 140-ish. I'll tell you the exact price momentarily that I locked in. Hosting Seattle, Sheffield going for the Mariners. Orioles are the play. The daytime, or actually the early evening time. That's a, what is it? No, it's actually a daytime game. It's a 4:05 Eastern, 1:05 Pacific start. So it's a day game in Baltimore. And then Cleveland tonight, Shane Bieber going up against Lucas Giolito, taking the Tribe on the road at minus 105. That in addition to the tennis plays that I mentioned, which are, you know, you could throw them into parlays again, talking about both Kovinich and Jabeur, not single plays, but also parlay plays. Mark Borchardt from Base Winner At Base Winner on Twitter. You can follow him at cleardatasports.com as well. He's been handicapping baseball from an undisclosed location in the desert. Mark Borchardt here with us now. Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Gil. Was happy that Cole kind of snuck through yesterday. He didn't have his best stuff last night. But I think I was a little lucky to win that game last night, Gil, actually.
Talk about the Yankees. You got two homers from Higashioka, and that helped you very much. So that got it done for the Yankees over the Jays. That was your win. Your loss was where on the Tribe? They didn't get it done. White Sox beat them 4-3 last night. Had a shot, didn't get there.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you, can you box pitchers in Las Vegas, or is that a thing of the past now?
Can you box pitchers in Las Vegas?
Can you box a listed starter? Like, you've been able to do that for years, and now I have one book that it's action, and then the other book, I could list the pitchers. So the one that I could list the pitchers on, because of the switch, that they switched from Keuchel or from Rodon to Keuchel, and I was able to get a cancel on that one, but the other one I lost. So I was just wondering, in Vegas, do you even have that ability now?
I'll tell you this. Action is the rule. Listed is the exception at this point. And so what you can do beyond that, I couldn't even answer that at this point.
So we're going action for purposes of the show. So that's fine. I would have had the Tribe anyway, because I think Keuchel and Rodon are about the same rating. So it would have been the same result anyway.
We only got 90 seconds, Mark. What'd you play today?
You know, I'm going to stay with this Cleveland-Chicago game, and I'm going to make a rare total play. I haven't done it for over a year. I think I'm confident enough in this game that this thing's going to go under. Giolito and Bieber, I think they're just going to go to a duel. I've got Bieber. He's number two base winner rating at 64. Giolito's been pitching awesome. I have him 22% better than average, and I think I'm sliding him a little bit. I think this is going to go down to the wire. Hopefully we get a 1-0 Cleveland win. Would be great.
It would be for me, too. I got the Tribe in this one. I got Bieber. So under, you're taking the under, though? That's your official play there?
Yeah, I think that's a good play, Gil. And the other game that I like a little bit is the big dog Pablo Lopez, not the Latin singer, the pitcher. I've got him rated about 11% better than average. I think they're getting a pretty good price at like plus 175 with Miami.
Marlins with some sneaky good arms, by the way. On that team. You won't get the plus 175 anymore, though, I don't think. What number would you play the Marlins?
I have the Braves at minus 154, so I'd probably play it up to like plus 165. You know, where are they at right now?
Okay, well, what I'm seeing consensus right now, and again, I'm looking at a board that I'm not sure is updating properly, but what I'm seeing is about plus 150 on the Marlins.
Yeah, that's just that. Gosh, that thing really moved. Well, I guess we'll pass on that. We'll go with the Cleveland-Chicago game under, and that'll be the play.
All right. I hope you're okay. Everything okay this morning? We had trouble finding you.
Yeah, I was having issues with the Bluetooth, Gil. Sorry about
okay,
that.
That's all right. We were in filibuster mode. Well, people had to get my picks instead of yours, so I didn't know if they wanted that instead.
You're on fire, so keep it going.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's early. 4-1 start. I'll take that every time. All right, Mark, under Cleveland, Chicago. We appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Mark Borchardt at Base Winner, if you want to follow him on Twitter as well. Drew Dinsick, always with the Fat Studio, though. We have no problem finding him. We'll talk golf, NBA, and, of course, NFL draft with him as well. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.